is Age of Treason Radio. With your host, Tan Stoffel. Pathology and Pathogen. Andrew Joyce's recent article at the Occidental Observer, The Bizarre World of Dr. Theodore Isaac Rubin, is mostly excellent. It's about how Jews explain antisemitism. As Joyce writes, although written in 2009, Ted Rubin's Antisemitism, A Disease of the Mind, is in several respects a relic of a bygone era in that it is a classic work of old-school Freudianism and psychoanalysis. Kevin MacDonald has noted in The Culture of Critique that, and here he quotes MacDonald, one way in which psychoanalysis has served specific Jewish interests is the development of theories of antisemitism that bear the mantle of science by de-emphasizing the importance of conflicts of interest between Jews and Gentiles. Although these theories vary greatly in detail, and as typical of psychoanalytic theories generally, there is no way to empirically decide among them, within this body of theory, antisemitism is viewed as a form of Gentile psychopathology, resulting from projections, repressions, and reaction formations stemming ultimately from a pathology-inducing society. Rather than antipathy, this is Joyce writing again, being a natural and normal result of real conflicts of interest, antipathy toward Jews is thus seen as a psychological illness, owing absolutely nothing to the behavior of Jews and everything to Western culture. This is the central thrust of Rubin's book. Skipping a little bit ahead here, he also writes, Joyce writes, Rubin wastes no time in applying medical and psychiatric language to anti-Jewish attitudes. They comprise, quote, a malignant emotional illness, unquote, a, quote, psychiatric illness, unquote, and, quote, a chronic pandemic and incredibly destructive disease, unquote. I agree with Joyce and MacDonald's assessment. Antipathy is a natural and normal result of real conflicts of interest. I would add to that that the key word in conflicts of interests is conflict. And the roots of the antipathy and conflict are racial. More than anything else, Joyce's article brings out the clash between white and Jewish mentality, the completely different way that each group sees the conflict between groups and between our two groups. These are racial differences in mental processes. MacDonald explains some of these differences in a recent article of his own, titled On the HBD Chick Interview. There he summarizes part of a chapter from the first volume of his trilogy on the Jews, A People Shall Dwell Alone. Little tongue twister. Briefly, the idea, this is MacDonald writing, the idea is that the Jews, or at least Ashkenazi Jews, are high on several personality systems, resulting in one, tendencies toward personalities that react intensely to environmental contingencies, i.e. high on the emotionality system. Two, strongly attracted to dominance, social status, reward, including sex, and prone to aggressiveness, i.e. high on the behavioral approach system. And three, able to have strong top-down control over modular systems related to emotions and behavioral approach, i.e. high on the conscientiousness system. Skipping ahead a bit, he writes also, I updated some of this material in Background Traits for Jewish Activism, published in 2003, which focuses on traits that are most important for the success of Jewish activism, hyperethnocentrism, intelligence, psychological intensity, emotionality, and aggressiveness. To put it in less genteel terms than either MacDonald or Joyce will do, the Jews are a race of ruthless crooks and liars, at least when it comes to dealing with whites. Jews are instinctively collectivist and assign Jewish interests the highest priority, to the point they have co-opted science and committed fraud to serve that end. In the Jewish mind, emotionalism trumps rationalism. They also tend to project their negative thinking onto the other. Whites, in contrast, are relatively individualist and universalist, with a higher regard for objectivity. In the white mind, rationalism trumps emotionalism. Whites tend to project our positive thinking onto the other. These are tendencies partly encoded in our genes, partly inculcated into our minds after birth. The big difference is group consciousness. The Jews inculcate their own with an unapologetic preference for their own and a distaste for the other. Jews inculcate most whites too, but with exactly the opposite moral standards. This kind of lopsidedness, this asymmetry, is characteristic of the entire history and nature of the conflict between whites and Jews. Jews have continuously aggressed against whites. Whites, for the most part, have been oblivious of this. As Joyce observes, Jews unabashedly distort reality and invert the conflict, placing 100% of the blame for it on whites. Jews use the most harsh-sounding biomedical terms, describing their enemies not as participants in a conflict with an opposing point of view, but as pests who should be simply silenced and even exterminated. Whites, in contrast, have generally reacted to this kind of bombast by recoiling defensively, in denial, trying to argue that they aren't congenital monsters like the Jews accuse them of being. In accordance with our instinct for objectivity, whites consistently step outside and above the conflict to seek out some less harsh-sounding explanation for it. We imagine, for example, that the Jews aren't so different, and it must be that they're deceiving themselves, because that's how whites tend to deal with our unpleasant realities. The real root of this asymmetry, as the Jews recognize, is biomedical. The Jews are racially distinct from whites. They are far more racially conscious, far more aware of racial distinctions. They not only see the distinction between themselves and others more clearly, they are more willing and able to ruthlessly exploit those differences. The Jews dedicate a great deal of effort not only to nurturing their own consciousness, but to tearing down such consciousness in their hosts. The Jewish pseudoscience of psychoanalysis that Joyce is examining is an example of both, excusing and leveraging their own consciousness and ethnocentrism, while at the same time they psychopathologize white consciousness and ethnocentrism. Joyce calls attention to the key component of this psychopathologizing. This is Joyce writing now. Another of Rubin's assertions, and this is equally common among many Jewish psychologists and academics, is that those holding anti-Jewish attitudes are low in self-esteem and are, quote, desperate for simplistic explanation and solutions, especially for those they may find outside themselves, unquote. But anti-Jewish theory, if one wants to call it that, is far from simplistic. The assumption is made by the psychoanalysts that since the only problem causing conflict with Jews exists solely in the mind of the, quote, anti-Semite, unquote, then the anti-Semite needs only a symbol, quote, unquote, symbol, to cure his own inner conflicts. This symbol is the Jew. He is said to cling to the simplistic belief that the Jews are behind all of his personal problems, and thus he can externalize his internal conflicts by hating Jews and somehow raising his own self-importance and self-esteem in the process. But this assessment is built on a deeply flawed assessment of both anti-Semitism, and the holder of anti-Jewish attitudes. Overall, I think Joyce is very perceptive in this article and others he's written. But in this point that he makes, I think it's his assessment of Jewish behavior that's flawed. The Jews are not making a mistake. It is about esteem. First of all, by blaming anti-Semitism, they are excusing themselves, placating and even feeding their own already enormous collective esteem as a people. Second, they are deliberately attacking the esteem of, quote, anti-Semites, unquote. In other words, those whites who are most racially conscious and most aware of the Jews. The attack the Jews make elicits a defensive posture, causing the enemy to question themselves. That the Jews cloak their attack in scientific terms as a medical diagnosis is an intentional deception. Such fraud is a feature of their aggression, not a flaw. A little bit more here from Joyce. He writes, "The psychoanalysts never acknowledge that some of the most high-profile anti-Jewish writers of the past have been at pains to blame their own people and nation before the Jews. There has never been a rush to externalize, to quote-unquote externalize, all blame for the ills of society." That's the point, I think, of what the Jews are doing. The Jews get the defensive response they seek. But we're not stupid or crazy. Allow me to provide some objective arguments and examples. Joyce supplies several paragraphs in this vein, and it's, as always, eye-opening and edifying, as his writing usually is. He perceives the Jews as enemies, but the examples he cites of these prominent anti-Semites demonstrates the point. Throughout history, even the most notorious anti-Semites have been far too willing, in the attempt to be objective and fair, to blame their own people, to fruitlessly seek some built-in flaws our race must have somewhere. The irony is that in striking such a defensive posture, it is self-esteem, which keeps us from accepting that this behavior is the flaw that we're looking for. Whites don't have an inherent racial lack of self-esteem relative to Jews. We have a relative lack of group esteem. We have a relative willingness to accept responsibility, especially guilt, especially collectively. I don't think this lack is entirely inborn. I think a large portion of it is induced by Jews pushing the psychological button that Joyce has noticed, but mistaken the significance of. Jews have been moralizing and lecturing whites for millennia now that, quote, "it's all your fault, you stupid, crazy, evil goyim." While some whites are able to shrug this off, few actually see it for the purposeful guilt-tripping, the aggression, the assault that it is. Joyce again. "Contrary to the arguments of the psychoanalysts, the problem always contains a very significant internal element, and thus the holder of anti-Jewish attitudes is rarely free to simply blame all on the other. This phenomenon continues today. Critics of Jews are equally concerned with developing an understanding not only of Jewish power and influence, but also of the pathology of whites that has facilitated Jewish power and influence, as well as the current disaster of displacement-level immigration and multiculturalism. The emphasis is on the identification of multiple sources and origins of the current societal malaise and on evidence-based intellectual and scientific investigation of all aspects of the interactions between Jews and non-Jews in all locations and throughout historical time. This activity can in no way be seen as the seeking of simplistic answers." This is the problem. The Jews shamelessly attack and blame everything on their enemies. And the response that their enemies make, not wanting to appear simplistic, is to try and rationalize and intellectualize and demonstrate how fair-minded we are. That is, quote, white pathology, unquote, in a nutshell. As I've said before, where there is a pathology, there must be a pathogen. So what is it? If we're going to speak of this phenomena in biomedical terms, then let's grab the bullshit by the horns, shall we? Jews clearly see that there is a conflict of interests, first and foremost, with whites. But whites are now so deracinated and innervated that they're afraid to see any conflict whatsoever, because that would make them racists. Jews hate whites. Whites worship Jews. Whatever anyone thinks caused this situation, this lopsided Stockholm syndrome relationship with Jews, it's clear that to the extent most whites even see it as a problem, they blame the Jews for approximately none of it. Instead, the popular explanation is the Jewish explanation, that whites are to blame for all of it. White pathology is a non-explanation for this situation. For one thing, the idea forgets or at least downplays the racial conflict. Joyce at least brings it up while discussing the Jews. More often, the term is used alone, without any mention of Jews or their aggression, which implies that there is some quote-unquote suicidal problem baked into whites and only whites. The idea is solipsistic. It is a self-satisfying pathologization of whites. It plays on the same psychological mechanism behind the Jewish explanation of antisemitism. It's an attack on our self-esteem, our fear of being seen as stupid for seeing an enemy as an enemy, which, if you think about it, is what's really stupid. What's also really telling about the falseness of the idea is that the term itself has a completely different meaning to most whites. When racially conscious whites say white pathology, they mean whites as a group aren't racially conscious enough. But if you try and explain white pathology to a typical deracinated white, they'll take it as confirmation that whites, and especially whites like you, are too racist. The white pathology idea appeals to the racially aware because there's a grain of truth to it. It's a diagnosis that comes close, but literally gets stuck on the pathology, the symptoms, and too often neglects to ever identify the cause, the pathogen. If whites are behaving pathologically, well-meaning whites should be doing their best to identify the pathogen that's causing this behavior. We should be seeking, without fear, ways to neutralize the cause rather than ourselves. The problem is not that whites have blamed the Jews too much. Quite the opposite. It's clear that the Jews have encouraged this solipsistic attitude exactly because it serves them. Joyce provides the example. Thinking that whites alone, right now, determine white destiny is a notion that appeals especially to the most racially conscious whites. But it is a fantasy as long as most whites remain, as they are, unconscious of any collective destiny. Calling the Jews pathogens or parasites is not an idle insult, nor is it an excuse for whites, their hosts. In fact, it's a degrading and humiliating situation. It's painful for whites to acknowledge. Such terms are simply more honest and explicative. They do a better job of explaining what's going on. It's an acknowledgement not just of the conflict, but its asymmetric nature. Among the benefits of calling a parasite is parasitology, an existing body of understanding based on true science, which offers practical insults and potential solutions that no amount of white pathology navel-gazing ever will. Another benefit, rather than misdirecting white resentment toward ourselves, it is directed at the cause where it belongs, the detestable, whiny, self-obsessed, manipulative, exploitative Jews. Without Jews, whites would still have problems, but these anti-Semitism white pathology bugbears wouldn't be among them. And I've got several recent news items that I could comment on. I'm not going to bother. I'll add them to the program post. The real pathology is visible in these articles. The pathology is the idea that everyone should care more about the Jews than they care about themselves. That's pathological, and it's coming directly from the Jews every day.